Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Oh, there's plenty to stock up for the weekend. And the pickle bar, yes, is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. And we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dick Girardi in just a few moments from Del Mar. We'll talk Breeders' Cup and we'll talk about Penn State basketball. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. It was a bad night for the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets.
Give it to the tailback, Forte. Runs to his right, cuts up the middle. Inside the five, headed to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, New York. He danced around for Tre'Davious White. He's had a rough evening. And the Jets now piling it on with 4:16 left in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's an easy drive right there. Two plays, touchdown, and they hand it off to Powell, who just powers his way and then scoots through the middle of the Bills' defense for huge yardage.
The snap, the pound gives it to Forte. Driving over the pile, gets into the end zone, touchdown, New York. Nice patient run by Matt Forte, his second touchdown of the game, second of the season. And the Jets are in command with 11:21 left in this game.
The depressed sounds of the Bills radio network last night as the Jets won the game 34-21. And remember, the Bills scored late twice to get it to 34-21. All right, let's think happy thoughts. Let's go out to a place that's sunny, exciting, fun. Let's go out to Del Mar and the guy that's going to be with me for our 14th season together on the Penn State Sports Network for Nittany Lion Basketball, Dick Girardi. Dick, welcome.
Never better, Steve. Hanging out at lovely Del Mar, looking out over the Pacific Ocean and like a bazillion-dollar condos up on the hills beyond the racetrack. This might be one of the great sporting locations in the world out here.
I, too, can see water, but it's coming down from the sky. So,
yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's just for the people that have never had an opportunity, it's like 20 minutes north of San Diego, just a little down the hill from La Jolla, and literally right across the street from the Pacific Ocean. Back in the day, Steve, before the A1A was built, they used to walk the horses over there after training. Instead of putting them on ice, they would walk them in the ocean.
that's nice.
Yeah, it's just a fabulous setting. I mean, Santa Anita's a lovely setting. I mean, you know where that is. It's right near Pasadena. Just on the other side of the San Gabriel Mountain from the Rose Bowl. But, yeah, this is different, but spectacular in its own way. And the first time the Breeders' Cup has been held here, I know they've wanted it forever. And they finally got it, and everybody's really looking forward to it on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, I want to ask you about the Breeders' Cup and what it's done. We all know the three big weekends, Kentucky, Preakness, Belmont. What has the Breeders' Cup done for the sport, especially the placement and the calendar of it?
Yeah, I mean, the issue, Steve, is that it's hard to break through in the sports calendar in early November. Let's deal with a reality here. The NFL's right in the middle of their season. College football's in the middle of the season. So it's hard to break through. So from that standpoint, it's hard to get big national notice, certainly like a race like the Derby gets, which is at a perfect time of the year, on the first Saturday in May. But what it's done for the sport is it's given everybody a chance to congregate at the end of the year for championship races. They'll be on NBC Sports Net, and then the finale, the classic $6 million race, will be an NBC primetime Saturday night. The big race will be at 8:35. And it's a lot of times it was American Pharoah's last race 2 years ago. It's sometimes the last chance to see some of these horses that people have gotten to know over time. And it's all these great horses all in one place. over 2 days running, and for people that love the game like I do, it's easily my favorite event. And look, I love all the Triple Crown events. It's one race. There's just 13 of them, man, and guess what? They let you bet also.
Right, exactly. Exactly right.
In fact, they
obviously. Yeah, exactly. When you get a chance like to see an American Pharoah go for the final time and so forth, that's special. How closely do you watch the two-year-old part?
It's huge. In fact, I was talking a little while ago to Mick Ruiz, who is the owner-trainer of a horse named Bolt Doro, who's going to be the favorite in the juvenile on Saturday. And if he wins like he won his last race, he'll be the overwhelming favorite for the Derby next year. So, yeah, that's why you're watching it. I actually said to him, I said, in your quiet time, are you already starting to think about Kentucky? He said, absolutely. So, yeah, anybody with a good two-year-old thinking about that first Saturday in May, and this really looks like a big-time two-year-old. I mean, coming out of last year, you just didn't feel like there were any really, really great two-year-olds. This is a race worth seeing. The juvenile is, the third-to-last race on the card on Saturday. There's a lot of races people don't want to miss. You're going to have to miss what you're calling a football game, but people get a chance to see Bolt Doro. If he wins like he did at Santa Anita a month ago, you're going to be in for a treat, because it was as dazzling a performance as I've seen from a two-year-old in a long time.
In fact, you mentioned last year's two-year-old crop coming out. There was really a mixed bag, and it played out in the Triple Crown races, quote, like a mixed bag. What about when you get to those races? What a couple of horses you want to look at that raced earlier this year that may reappear now and become a favorite in a race?
Right. It's interesting that all the three-year-olds that won the three Triple Crown races, none of them did anything after that. They won it's just crazy, but the Derby winner, the Preakness winner, and the Belmont winner, none of them won another race, and they're all out. A couple of them, one of them's retired. They're not going to run anymore. So it's a horse that's really burst on the scene in the second half. The three-year-old is West Coast, aptly named. He's had it trained by Bob Baffert, won the Travers, and then came to Philadelphia and won the Pennsylvania Derby and won easily. His problem is, Steve, he's going in the Classic Saturday night against Arrogate and Gunrunner and all the good older horses. And the older horses are really, really good. Gunrunner is a slight favorite over Arrogate, who's not been quite the same since he won the Dubai World Cup back in March, but also trained by Baffert, who, believe it or not, is going for his fourth Breeders' Cup Classic in a row.
Wow.
After not having won any, they said, he'll never win the Classic. Oh, okay. And he's won three in a row.
And I believe when they were at Parks, Bob himself came in, didn't he?
He did. What happened was, typically, when one of his horses goes on the road, unless it's for a Triple Crown or a Breeders' Cup, Bob stays home, sends his top assistant, Jimmy Barnes, and stays, because he's got a big stable in Southern California, at Santa Anita, so he stays and manages the rest of the stable. But right like this Sunday before the PA Derby, Jimmy got badly hurt. He broke his pelvis in an accident on the track on a horse, kind of slipped, and he fell. So Bob himself came Tuesday afternoon, and he had texted me, and he said, I'm really not looking forward to it. Not that he was not looking forward to coming to Pennsylvania necessarily, but he just doesn't like the track. He had a heart attack years ago in Dubai, and it kind of was a little bit of a problem. But he got there, and he had a phenomenal time. We had a group that went out to dinner with him the first night against the Wednesday night, and then on the track. I mean, yeah, he's the biggest name in the sport. And any autograph somebody wanted or a photograph, he was doing it. He was great with us. We had a TV show. He sat for interviews, stories, whatever he needed. He had a great time. And, of course, it didn't hurt this horse. Not only won the race, but killed the rest of the field.
Right. And the other part, too, is, and you already know these people to begin with, but to get them in a setting where he can let the white hair down a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, did he just seem more relaxed with his place? I mean, now he's accomplished a Triple Crown and things like that. You sense that when somebody does something, you sense, even though he's still driven to always win, that there's a more relaxed Bob Baffert now.
No question. Steve, it's interesting. I actually saw it through American Pharoah's Triple Crown, when really the pressure was at its height. I've never seen him more calm and relaxed, at least on the outside. He was great that whole spring. with anything you wanted. If you called him, he'd call you back. And he had a million things going on. But, yeah, the first night he was there, a bunch of us went out to dinner with him at the nice steakhouse at the casino there next to the racetrack. And he was telling stories for 2 hours. And guys that have been, and you know, racetrack stories, guys that have been around the track for years and years, like, man, they have one great story after another. And, yeah, he did. At one point he says, yeah, this is off the record. I said, Bob, it's always off the record if there's no tape recorders or notebooks down. It's okay. If we're having dinner, it's off the record. But it was some funny stuff. And, yeah, now he has accomplished everything in sport. There's nothing left for him to do, but he's still out there. I mean, it's why Tom Brady's still playing, right? I mean, some people they've already achieved the greatness. They just want to keep doing.
Article in today's Daily News that you wrote was about Villanova and the nearly extinct species that's called the senior player. which I thought that was a fascinating way to start it, because you and I both know it's absolutely true. North Carolina, in some ways, has had some older players over time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when you look at the Villanova model, how smart has Jay Wright been as to the getting high level recruits, but not so high that they're running out of town quickly?
Yeah, it's a fascinating way to do it in the world that we live in. Steve, he actually, when they made the Final Four in 2009, which was his first trip, he thought he needed, because he didn't win. Remember, North Carolina hammered him in the semifinals.
Right.
And they did have some older players, but he said, you know what, I just think we're not quite good enough. So he went out and tried to get some of those guys, and it turned out to be a nightmare for the program. They lost 19 games, which is the most losses in Villanova history, and he said, you know what, that's not right for us. And then he went back to, all right, let's get Brian Archidiakono, like Josh Hart,
right,
and these guys that are really, really good college players, and maybe if everything goes right, they could make the NBA. And, I mean, you see the result the last 4 years. I mean, they're averaging, I want to say they've won 130 games in four seasons. I mean, that's insane.
That sounds right. Yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. And they're so consistent, and they play that great style. And, yeah, they're going to win 30 again this year. There's no question about it. They're going to do it. And I think what attracts kids to that is they say, hey, look, this is a sustainable model. It isn't instant gratification. I did a piece a couple weeks ago on Mikhail Bridges, who's one of their fourth-year juniors.
Yeah.
And Jay said, he told him when he came, he says, look, we think you have a potential to be even an NBA guy, but you're going to have to do what we tell you and listen to what we're saying and work at it. And he has. And now, he, if he wants to come out after this year, he'll probably get drafted in the first round. And he's never averaged 10 points a game. But people, they understand what they're seeing. And he was smart enough, and his family was smart enough to realize it isn't going to be instant gratification, one and done. But if I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to have a shot at this. And he is. And that's hard to sell that anymore, Steve. You know that. So Jay doesn't even go... But those players basically are limited now to Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. That's where like 90% of the one-and-done guys go. And that's fine. That model works, too. Nothing wrong with that model. Obviously, Kentucky and Duke and Kansas are challenging for Final Fours every year, but there's just different ways of doing it. And it's neat that the old-school model, done correctly, could still work.
Because there are a lot of players between 30 and 150 out there that you can get and build this model with.
Absolutely. You get enough of them, right? And they hang, and all of a sudden, maybe 1 year, you're in Houston, and your guys are playing unbelievable, and you're playing a couple of seniors and juniors, and they played 110 or 130 basketball games already. That matters in crucial moments. And you have your point guard who takes the ball down the court, flips it to your junior shooter, and the buzzer goes off, and you win the national championship. That's the stuff that can happen if you're willing to stay with it.
Which then goes to the other side. Jay saw what it was like. How he wants to run a program. There was chaos bringing in a couple of other guys that may get out quicker. What kind of respect then does that mean for somebody like Coach Calipari at Kentucky, who has been able to make it for his model work because he's been able to stay consistently high while having that kind of player?
Yeah, it's really, in many ways, it's just amazing what Cal has been able to do at Kentucky. Yes, he has great players, but he gets, and they all know what the deal is. They're coming, they're going to go for a year, and he's going to get them a nice NBA, potential nice NBA contract. But yet they play. I mean, if you watch them play, they're not selfish. They're not me-first guys at all. So, yeah, that's a totally different way, and it's a unique coach that gets the players to not only think about what the future is, but a guy like Anthony Davis, when he was there, I mean, you and I saw him real early. It was obvious that he was the number one pick in the NBA draft. But he said, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to help my team win. And if you remember in the championship game, I think he was like, oh, I'm not going to get this right. 1-for-10 against Kansas, yeah, and dominated the game because he got every rebound, blocked every shot. Just like, he was the best player on the floor.
Because the area with Calipari, I really respect, Dick. I'll get your take on this. Is that he gets that young player to understand you've got to play defense and play an all-around game to play for.
No doubt about it. And if you don't, you ain't playing. Because guess what? He's got another guy just as good as you. So he has that incentive. And if you don't play, of course, then you're less likely to get seen by NBA types. So yeah, he's got a hammer hanging over guys. But, you know, it's funny. He stumbled onto that model. That wasn't really the plan. Then all of a sudden, one day, I guess it was after his first year, all of a sudden he looks up and there's like five guys going in the first round, and he said, "Oh, I think I can make this work." And of course, look, kids are not growing up for the most part these days playing basketball, thinking about playing in college. They're thinking about the league. That's just the way it is. Some are good enough to get there and end up in the right place, and some are unrealistic and end up being in school for the wrong reasons. And then there's the other group that's just, hey, if it happens, great. If not, I'm going to go to college for 4 years and I'll get a college degree, which is also not a bad thing.
And in the final stage of this, how anxious are you to watch the local group play out this season?
Steve, I'd say in, was it 13 years, 14 years, however
14th
long you and I,
year.
14. Yeah. This is by far the most anticipatory I've been toward any season. Because you could tell last year, it took a while, but you could see the talent was there. And I think I mentioned this to you when Taylor Battle and a lot of the older guys came up to play against the guys on this year's Penn State team over the summer. I called them. I said, what'd you think? He says, way the most talent, like, in memory at Penn State. I said, better than your team? He said, not even close.
Right.
That told me a lot because he played against them. I mean, you and I know what we saw, but it's always nice to hear confirmation from a guy who's done it. And look, the three best players on the team last year were freshmen. And now they've gotten 30-some games played. And, yeah, the potential is there. Obviously, they got to go out and do it. I don't see any reason why they won't. Now, the league is a monster, because it always is. But the league is, there's the two games early, and then the league is later. Just you find your way through the non-conference. I mean, certainly last year we all anticipated it, but it took a while. It just took a while for them to figure it out. But there were moments last year when you said, that's it. It's just a question of will those moments become 40 minutes a night, game after game.
All right, we're going to get going with that thing pretty soon. And you enjoy Del Mar, because next year will be Churchill Downs.
Yeah, it'll be a little chillier. Won't be any oceans. The Ohio River will be in the vicinity. But I love Churchill, but Churchill ain't Del Mar, Steve.
You got that right. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. We shall work again shortly.
Guys, enjoy East Lansing. I believe post time for us is in about 9 days at 3:30 p.m. on a Friday afternoon.
You got it, and we're all set. Time to start loading those two horses into the gate. Let them run.
we'll come out in front and see if we can't save it.
Perfect. Thanks, Dick.
Thanks, Dick.
Dick Girardi hanging out at Del Mar. He's at the Breeders' Cup, and he is enjoying every second of it. Week from today, Nittany Lion basketball team will open the season with Campbell. That will be a 4 o'clock start next Friday, and Dick and I will be on the air beginning at 3:30 next Friday in this time slot. And in fact, Penn State has 8 basketball games in the month of November starting a week from today. So they've got those 8 games in a 19-day span. And if you're wondering, oh, Steve, any conflicts for you? No, no conflicts. I'm going to do 4 football games this month and 8 basketball games. In other words, I'm going to have a blast. I'm looking forward to it. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Final half hour, Neil Coulong on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Great to have you with us on this Friday. Final half hour for the week. We're going to talk about the NFL with Neil Coulong in just a few moments. Our thanks to Bob Nightingale, USA Today, in the opening half hour. To Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press, who covers Michigan State football. That was in the second half hour. Dick Girardi, previous half hour. Neil Coulong in just a few moments. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Brewers Outlet. All right, it's that time of the year. Thanksgiving's coming up. Just less than 3 weeks away now. Three weeks from today will be Black Friday, as a matter of fact. Think about that. That means Thanksgiving. That means after that, Hanukkah, Christmas, gift cards. Brewers Outlet's a great place to get gift cards. People really appreciate that. Of course, they're going to appreciate a gift card from Brewers Outlet. Any place that has the best selection of imports, domestics, and microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And yes, I think we all know by now, based on this rock-solid endorsement, that the pickle bar is indeed second to none. I love how everybody out there is joining in on that. And it's led by the barrels and the dills. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The store's really well laid out. Plenty of room, lots of help to get cases to the car, plenty of free parking, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Very pleased to be joined in the great Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors staff, I don't care if it's at Sunbury Motors or Sunbury Motors Kia, they have a great staff. They go out of their way with customer service. Means everything to them. So go with the best. Sunbury Motors. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And I really hate to do this to you, Sean. Sean loves soccer. Loves soccer. But this time I have to give it to a soccer player, Sean. I'm sorry. I have to. Patrice Evra is, has a reputation of being one of the more calm guys in the sport. Formerly played for Manchester United, now plays for Marseille. This is a guy that usually has a smile on his face. He preaches that everyone should live each day to the fullest. Well, he's normally a level-headed guy, but in the Europa League group stage on Thursday, he was given a red card before the game even began. Why? He kicked an opposing fan in the head. It all started after being heckled by the fans. There was a lot of pushing around before all this happened. And Evra had enough, and he kicked the fan in the head. A further suspension, by the way, is surely coming for Evra. And maybe even a punishment for the club because of the fans' actions. Sad to see. Evra. Unfortunately, sports bozo of the day. It's amazing how your reputation takes a hit by one loss of poise incident. All right, it is a bye week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And with that, we go to, I believe, Bermuda, the Bahamas, someplace where we're locating Neil Kulong. Neil, how are you?
I've got the umbrella drink in my hand and warm island thoughts in my mind, I guess.
No surprise whatsoever to this veteran campaigner.
So did Martavis Bryant get smaller and smaller in the rearview mirror during each stride of that 97-yard play?
Yeah, what's really funny is I tweeted this after it happened. It made me chuckle, the fact that that Bryant's 95-yard catch against the Bengals was the largest pass play in Steelers history. And now that's been obliterated by the guy that he was trying to take down just the week previous to it. So it's kind of like, wow, it's really really kind of a poetic justice in action. But overall, you know, I think both of them will be better as the season goes on. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a really young guy. We've heard, you know, all about him now. His fans are really into him. People really like him. It's good to see him have a big game like that. But the arrow's definitely pointed up for him. He's got work to do, but they have to be really impressed with what they've seen him so far.
The goal line stand where the Lions have moved downfield. They had a chance field goal to take the lead in the game, and they decided to shun it. Jim decided not to do it, or Jim Caldwell. When you've sat at Little League games side by side for a while, you call him Jim. that goes back a few years for the two of us out at Lamont Elementary School. When Jim decided not to go for that, you know, they ran a couple power plays out of the eye with a fullback and didn't get in, and then the Steelers were able to force Stafford to scramble, not his strong suit. What did you see defensively out of the Steelers in that short field area that showed that little championship medal to you?
I think they really tightened up inside. More than anything, I thought Javon Hargrave played really well. I mean, they had a tough time, you know, moving the heavies off the line. The Steelers won the line of scrimmage. And for whatever reason, if that's just, you know, a mentality thing or what, it's not that the Hargrave played poorly or the Steelers defensive line played poorly prior to that, but they really locked inside like that. I think more than anything, what Caldwell wanted to do was get some motion out to the pylon. That's a play we've seen run against the Steelers, or at least a concept we've seen run against them the last couple weeks, and teams have been successful with it. The Chiefs came very close to it. At the end of that game, it was basically the same type of thing. Try to get the ball inside and exploit the Steelers' goal line linebacker depth, which really isn't all that great, especially in coverage. I think the Lions wanted to force that situation again. The Steelers caught up to them. It happened a couple times in that game as well. I mean, really, it's just like I can't believe the Lions aren't scoring. That was my thought in the second half. I'm like, Steelers' defense is playing out of its mind, except, you know, they're giving up yards perhaps a little bit more than you would want overall. But we talked about this before. Matthew Stafford's a great quarterback. I thought he played a great game.
He sure did.
Didn't get a whole lot of help overall from a very limited group of skill position players in Detroit. But he's tough to beat. And you're looking at the triple whammy, too, of going on the road to play a good quarterback after a bye week, that's a rare combination the teams have to face in the NFL, and it's really hard to win those games. You know, hats off to the Steelers for playing the way they did.
Yeah, because, you know what, I mean, Stafford, between the 20s, is this, I think it's a fair evaluation, between the 20s put a lot of pressure on the Steelers.
Yeah, and he's capable of doing that just with his arm talent. You know, he's throwing guys open. They're tough to defend. All over the field. I think Cam Hayward maybe said this at some point last year after one of those, you know, Chris Boswell field goal games, that the best defenses are the ones that tighten up inside. You can give up yards, but if you're only giving up 3 points instead of seven, you're probably going to be in a pretty good position at the end of that game. And that's really where the Steelers were. Obviously need the big, you know, kind of dramatic play by Smith-Schuster, but defensively that really was the story, and it's largely because they didn't allow anything inside the 20. I mean, that's just a dominant performance.
Everyone at this stage of the season is sore. I mean, really sore. How do you feel about the timing of the Steelers bye week?
I think it's perfect just in the sense that it gives you two equal seasons, you know, if you want to look at it like that, and a lot of teams treat it as such. It's great for a you know, kind of a numerology perspective as well, because the Steelers turned it up over their last eight games of the last couple seasons. I think the record on the final eight games of the last four seasons combined, or three seasons combined, is 25-7. Yeah. And for them to go 6-2, which is not common for them over the last couple of years, they've started off pretty slowly. For them to be at this point, and you know, on top of that, have five of your last eight games at home, you have to feel really good about their chances of maybe even hitting 13-3. And I think that might be the top seed in the AFC this year. For them to be in that position right now, it surprises me a little bit, but this is when they get good. I think it's a great time for a bye, and it's a great win to come off of a bye, especially when you get to go to Indianapolis, a place that you've feasted over the last couple of years, coming out of that bye. You get the luck as well of not having to face Aaron Rodgers. You get Brett Hundley instead. It doesn't look like Luck is coming back anytime soon.
No.
So that's Jacoby Brissett there. You have Watson and Brady, but otherwise, Flacco, Dalton, I'm forgetting whoever they want to start in Cleveland for that Week 17 game. The Steelers have a really, really big advantage right now. It's one that they've earned. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, injuries play a part of every team's season, both, you know, for in their favor and against them. But they really have the deck set for them now, and I think we're going to see really good things from them the rest of the way.
I believe a Cleveland radio station is holding a contest to see which fan is going to start against the Steelers at quarterback in the game. And it's really kind of a neat thing where you get a one-day contract, and, you know, and you also
just,
you know,
a laughably bad trio of quarterbacks. Oh, I don't remember any of them being this bad. You have to go through all of them. It's just wow. They all put up the same stat line.
No offense.
Kizer, what, four times, and whether it's Hogan or I can't remember his name. The kid from USC, Kessler, one of them, they're all 10 for 22 for 120 yards and two interceptions or whatever. They just not winning football at all in Cleveland. They're going to struggle to win a game.
I mean, there's some talk they may bring Frank Ryan back. All right. where is Brian Sipe when you need him? Even at his current age, Brian Sipe is better. We have seen more trade, and I think we've named, you know, because Otto Graham passed away 14 years ago, so he's out. But I've named all the great Cleveland quarterbacks over the past 50 years. I should mention Bill Nelson. Okay, used to play for the Steelers, then with the Browns, he excelled. When you look at the trades, normally the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, they have trades during the season. Usually the NFL really doesn't. Are you surprised at all by the trend, or are there factors in the trend?
I think that the factors really are just that they opened it up by allowing teams to trade compensatory picks.
Yes.
So with that, they can trade their, say, fifth-round pick because they anticipate getting a fifth-round pick back. That's kind of been the way that they've done it. Now they know that they have it, basically. The teams are all aware of what they're going to get in the compensatory process, so they're trading those ahead of time because they're allowed now to do it. I think that opens things up a little bit. That and kind of the accumulating salary cap debt that they have. You know, I think half the league has $8 million or more in salary cap space.
Right.
So you look at that as a leverage chip as well. You can take on a big contract because you have the cap space to be able to pay for it. With that, I think it's it's generating more activity. And along with that, I think you can make the argument that the market, you know, it's going to be kind of up and down for this sort of thing. You look at Seattle, they're in need, desperate need for a left tackle. And I think Dwayne Brown would have played in Canada before he'd go back to Houston again. So really his situation kind of speaks for itself. Garoppolo, that trade was intriguing to me in a way, but we've kind of seen that coming. If you think about it, this was really the time that he was going to get dealt. He wasn't going to go at the middle of the year. But I am surprised that New England wanted to do it this quickly. I figured, you know, if nothing else, they could probably try to work something out in the offseason after they would tag him. But I don't know if they would have gotten better than what's probably going to be a high second-round pick.
Well, I think let's go back to the Russell Wilson example. What really put Seattle on the path to winning a Super Bowl? His contract as a third-round pick was a huge reason because it gave them financial flexibility all over the lot. If they kept Garoppolo, they would have lost their financial flexibility.
It's really
that simple. I mean, this is not a performance thing. This is my backup quarterback's making this amount of money. Now I can't make three other moves.
Yep, I agree completely. And that's the biggest reason why drafting quarterbacks in the first round is so important. It doesn't matter who they are, how good they are. Pretty much any of them that has, you know, the right kind of potential, they're going to draft them in the first round just so they can get 5 years of control over them before they hit market value for a quarterback, which, as Mike Glennon proved, $15 million a year. And he played three games for the Bears.
Right, exactly.
You know, didn't see that coming at all. But it really, you're spot on with Russell Wilson. I'll add this to it as well. Joe Flacco and the Ravens just 1 year earlier, it was the same thing.
Right.
Flacco was in a contract year. You know, pretty much the only quarterback in the history of the CBA era of the NFL, or the salary cap era of the NFL, that played all of his team's games throughout his entire career and was making $7 million. No quarterback plays into the final year of their contract anymore.
Right.
For Flacco to have done that, it kept his cost down to a point where they could go out and overpay for a kind of a novel position like a fullback. They brought in Vontae Leach, who was one of the best fullbacks of his era. He did great things for him. He only played 7-8 snaps a game, but they were always positive snaps because he's that good at what he does. They could pay Bryant McKinney $3.5 million basically to come in and play in the playoffs. They sat him the whole year to keep him rested.
Yeah.
You have that financial advantage. We've seen it time and time again. The cheaper and the more value you get out of your quarterback for less dollars, the better your team is going to be overall. And Seattle is a shining example of that.
And remember what I refer to as the suspension contract. Brady's contract for the suspension, what was he getting, $2 million? Some number
like that.
Or $1 million?
It's a big part of their legacy.
Right, exactly. He did that. All of a sudden, they've got all the financial flexibility in the world. They can't pay a backup quarterback $15 million. You can't.
Not unless you're going to basically try to force out the greatest player in your city's history. I wouldn't have been surprised if they wanted to kind of think about that.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, look, you know, it's Favre versus Rodgers. You know, you can see both sides of it. It's kind of hard to say, you know, either decision is going to be wrong, but you can make a mistake, if that makes sense. Do you want to sever ties with Tom Brady? Is Jimmy Garoppolo that important to your franchise? Or can we just get him again in the second round because we just picked up a pick? You know, we flipped Jimmy Garoppolo for a higher pick than we used to take him in the first place. Let's start over. Let's draft another one, keep him cheap, and maybe he's the guy to take over.
And Neil, under the category of let's go for it, Jay Ajayi going from the Dolphins to the Eagles for a fourth-round pick.
That I didn't see coming at all.
Nobody did. Not even Jay Ajayi saw it.
There isn't a player on Miami's offense that's playing well. But apparently Adam Gase's strategy here is to score even less points, I guess. I don't know.
I have to admit, it's not the angle I would have thought of. But if that's how he wants to try it.
the Dolphins are currently averaging 1.5 fewer points per game than the Browns. That's how bad their offense has been.
That's
and if you're
going
to tell me that their empire collapsed because Ryan Tannehill got hurt in the offseason, I don't know what to tell you. Clearly, you're not the offensive genius you think you are. This is one player that has had success for you before. Nobody on offense is playing well for them. Nobody.
No.
So you flip him for a fourth-round pick? Really? That's going to make all the difference?
Yeah.
You've lost your entire fan base now, and you're rebuilding already for next year. When you have, you know, somehow or other, a reasonable record right now. There's no reason to think they're completely out of it. except for the fact that they can't score because they have a great defense. But what are you doing offensively to better yourself at the trade deadline? Nothing, not a thing. So you're selling for some reason. I don't get to move the ball. I think Jai is a great runner. I'd love to have him for a fourth round pick. Easy.
Yeah, I mean that better be some fourth round pick, which I believe is on day three. All right.
That's where Martavis Bryant came from.
Oh,
go figure.
Voila!
You can get Martavis Bryant.
Yep, I'm waiting to the draft table now. Hey, Neil, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. Great to have him with us, as always. Neil will join us again on Tuesday next week, as a matter of fact. Big weekend coming up. And the big weekend includes a lot of high school football this evening. It's playoff time in high school football. The award-winning Kevin Herr on the call tonight. Kevin will be joined by the coach, Dick Hort. Shikellamy at home tonight with their playoff opener as they take on Athens here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff tonight. 6:30 will be the airtime for the broadcast. Sealands Grove this evening. They're at home taking on Jersey Shore. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. Airtime with Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt is set for 6 o'clock this evening. And then don't forget, after the game on Eagle 107, it'll be Sean Carey with, I think, not just the areas, I think it's the state's best high school football postgame show, without question. What a great job Sean does, and all of our correspondents do. Zach Showers joins in, Matt Cotrillo joins in, Kevin's going to be on as well this evening, all on Eagle 107. And on 100.9 The Valley this evening, playoff opener for Lewisburg as they play at Loyal Sock. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. And Greg Wetzel and company on beginning at 6:30 this evening on 100.9 The Valley. Don't forget Bucknell at home tomorrow at Christie. They've got Lehigh tomorrow. Eagle 107 has it with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr. And that'll be again tomorrow at Christie Mathewson Stadium. And Penn State football tomorrow, Nittany Lions at Michigan State, and that game will be at noon tomorrow with a 10:30 airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. Oh, what a pleasure to always be in the Sunbury Motors studio. What a pleasure to be associated with Sunbury Motors, first class all the way through. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Think about those holiday gift cards. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Thanks to all of our guests today, and as always, our thanks to the outstanding Sean Carey. I'm Steve Jones. Have a great weekend, everyone.